go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, two full weeks of May under our belts. It is the 17th of May, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That, of course, is where you go and click on chat room if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that takes place during the hours in which this program is live, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, and variations in between, or whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Hi, it's Friday on the front porch. I'm Bob Kincaid. And here in about an hour, we will get the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable fired up and the conversation going. But we begin every program here with thanks. Thanks going out to our subscribers for the 17th day of the month. Thanks to Nancy and thanks to Gary Laborman, and thanks to Samuel. Thank you, all three of you, for being subscribers and thus partial sponsors of the program. If you'd like to be a subscriber, you can run over to the Contribute tab at HeadOn.live and go through the process that way. There's just a little, it's two steps in, and there's a box you can click that says make this happen every month. Fundraising goal for the evening to finish the week, $553. $553, I think. And let's see, that would finish off today, yesterday, and the $53 we have left over from trying to catch up with prayer meeting Wednesday. And thanks to all of you for jumping in as you do from time to time to keep the program going. Thank you very, very much indeed. Lovely day here in almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan. Looks like it's going to be, if the weather holds, might actually get some sunshine this weekend, which would be lovely, which means might be able to fire up the smoker and shove the mower around the yard a little bit, do a little weed eating. You know, the kind of stuff that makes summer around here and warm weather, not summer yet, but warm weather around here pleasant and pastoral and other words like that. If you would like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, well, it's real easy. Just run over to HeadOn.live and click on the Skype link there, and that will take you directly into the Old Holler Tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we hold the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable every Friday. Okay? Where to begin? It's always a challenge. But since we've spent so much time there this week anyway, let's start in Alabama. Because apparently Alabama Republicans are utterly incapable of recognizing the concept known as blatant hypocrisy. Let's start with the governor of that state, Kay Ivey, who became governor of that state only because Robert Bentley could not keep his penis within the boundaries of his traditional Christian, God-fearing, upstanding family values, marriage between one man and one woman, and instead went a-romping down to the Redneck Riviera and made audio recordings about how he wanted to squeeze the breastises of a lobbyist, I believe she was, and thereby had his marriage fall apart and had to resign as governor of the state of Alabama, opening the position for 1K Ivey, who, when she ran for governor, this is all just background, when she ran for governor, well, doggone it, the Republicans opposing her said that she should not be governor because she was an alcoholic lesbian. But it's all in, you know, it's all squabbling in the family, so they made up, and they sent her that hateful bill, and she joyfully signed it into law. With a statement, because there's a bill signing statement always. They tweeted it even. They were so dadgum proud of it. And of signing the woman-hating bill in Alabama into law, she said, "Today, I signed into law the Alabama Human Life Protection Act. To the bill's many supporters, this legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God." Then, almost exactly 24 hours later, she signed another document. And that document allowed the state of West Virginia to kill a guy by name Michael Brandon Samra. Last night, he was murdered in the name of the people of the state of Alabama. And, well, he wasn't a fetus. No, he'd been in prison since for about the last 22 years or so. That would have made him 41 years old. He was involved in a murder. He was the wheel man, I guess you'd say. No, he was actively involved. No, he and a buddy who was 16, Mark Duke, they were convicted in 1997. They killed Mark Duke's daddy. They killed Mark Duke's daddy's girlfriend, and they killed the two little daughters that the girlfriend had. They did all of this as a result of an argument, because it's Alabama, over a pickup truck. So the fellow who went to prison at the age of 19 spent half of his life in prison. And then the state of Alabama, where, what's that language again? Every life is a sacred gift from God. Well, they murdered him by horizontal crucifixion, lethal injection. Yep. There was more to the story than that, though. Both Duke and Samra were convicted. They were both sentenced to be murdered in the name of the people of the state of Alabama. But Duke's conviction was overturned because he was 16, and Samra's was let stand because he was 19. Dead now. Yeah. Michael Brandon Samra. But before the state of Alabama got around to killing him, it had already been documented that Michael Brandon Samra had what were described by medical professionals as significant cognitive impairments. He was developmentally slow. He had tremors in his hands. Most of his young life he had spent in special ed. And eventually, because public schools in places like Alabama really don't like to mess with people like Michael Brandon Samra, he dropped out of high school, and no one there at the high school that he dropped out of really shed any tears over it. He had a below normal IQ and neurologic indications of what can best be described as a dysfunctional brain. Oh, I said state of West Virginia. I meant state of Alabama. Thanks for catching that, Brother Deacon Asa. I said 24 hours. She signed a bill that allowed the state of West Virginia to go. Well, sorry about that. At least West Virginia has that going for us. We're not into executing people yet. But every year there's a Republican who introduces a death penalty bill in the legislature here. So if we give the maggots long enough, I'm sure they'll get around to it. We regret the error. But it's Alabama. And in Alabama, well, it's just, I mean, he's in a better place now, isn't he? No, not really. The universe ended for Michael Brandon Samra to the extent that he was able to comprehend the universe that he was in at all. And so maybe his life, well, maybe Alabama doesn't think that every life is so precious after all, or that every life is such a sacred gift from God. That, I believe, was the sixth sacred gift from God that Kay Ivey has caused to be murdered. Yeah. And there are seventh. That was her seventh precious gift from God murder. And there are at present 181 other people waiting to have their precious gift from God lives snuffed out by Kay Ivey. Proving that Alabama is not so much pro-life, but pro-fetus. Because if Alabama was really pro-life, Michael Brandon Samra's life might not have turned out the way it was. He might have had better access to services that could help him get through this veil of tears. But, sorry, no. Just no. So there we are. And there it is. And nobody, and the thing is, when your government has evolved to the point that the leadership is effectively isolated from the consequences of their acts, you know, nobody's going to go up to Kay Ivey and tell her that she is a ruthless, bloodthirsty hell spawn. That she is a hypocrite, and that she should be that maybe, you know, as she gets toward the end of her precious gift from God, that the heat on the soles of her feet will be the warming from the burning fires of hell in which she is about to descend. Nobody speaks to people that way, even though there are some people on this planet who desperately need to be spoken to that way. So, Michael Brandon Samra, whatever his life was, has at least had his name spoken, his acts condemned. But he stands as a reminder of the hypocrisy that attends each and every pro-life Republican in the state of Alabama, and moreover, in the United States of America. Because there were no pro-lifers standing vigil outside the prison as they prepared to horizontally crucify Michael Brandon Samra. There was no one there holding up a sign that said, "Choose life." No, if anyone was there at all, it was people who recognize what a nightmare the death penalty is. And by the way, just after she was sworn into office a couple of years back, the hypocrite Kay Ivey signed another bill into law that made it more difficult for people who think they have been unjustly convicted of a capital crime, made it more difficult for them to attempt to prove it. And so the likelihood went up as a result of this proponent of the sacred gift from God and the preciousness of life. Well, Kay Ivey made it more likely that Alabama will murder in the name of the people of its state, innocent people. But that's not where it ends. No. One of the things that Alabama isn't doing is addressing the fact that Alabama has the fourth highest infant mortality rate in the United States. For every 1,000 babies born in Alabama, 7.4 is the death rate. Here's what's really sad about that. 7.4 is the lowest that rate has ever been in the history of the state of Alabama. Thus, for all of that talk about precious gifts from God, the state of Alabama really doesn't walk the walk. They talk the talk, but when it comes to walking the walk, they're not worth a tinker's damn. A woman is better off giving birth in Cuba than in Alabama. No kidding. And there are three states that have worse infant mortality rates than Alabama. In 2017, 434 babies died in Alabama after they were born. Now, see, if that infant mortality rate could include abortions, I'm sure Alabama Republicans would cheer it and say, see, 7.4. Mississippi, to the immediate west, is at 8.6. Yeah. Oklahoma, another one of those states that thinks that life is so precious, is at 7.7. and so is South Dakota. Alabama is the fourth worst place in America for a woman to attempt to give birth. I think were I female in Alabama, it would cause me to give to have second thoughts about trying to, because the maternal death rate, the postpartum death rate for mothers, is also terrifyingly high. So that's another element of all of this. Yeah, I know. Monique says, next time these states want to secede, let them. Don't let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord split you. It's Friday and I'm tired. I understand, Monique. I do understand. So there they are in Talabama. And the legislature, obviously, is working on stuff. They're in session, by Jove. Because they had time to work up this nightmarish manifestation of their extreme hatred of women. And they had the help of no small number of women in that process. What they can't seem to do, however, is actually take care of the babies that they've got. If Alabama was just a family, Child Protective Services would have come in and taken away all the children. Because the legislature has to come up with $35 million as its contribution to the Children's Health Insurance Program. The vast majority of the money comes from the federal government. But Alabama has to scrape together $35 million to provide health care for low and middle income kids. And the Senate's got a budget going through, and the Alabama House has a budget going through. But neither of them have put the $35 million into the budget that they are required to do in order to provide health care for born children of low and middle income parents. Steve Klaus, a Republican from Ozark, Alabama, is the House General Fund Chairman. And he said, well, those are discussions we're going to have over the next couple of weeks. Curiously, they could have been having that discussion already, but they were busy trying to, succeeding in assaulting women. Yeah. And they seem to be having an argument, because I guess the education budget has a little bit of a carryover in it where they could find that $35 million, but they don't want to use it on taking care of kids. Mm-mm. Yeah, Kay Ivey, meanwhile, wants the $35 million to come out of the education budget. Those good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Republicans say no. Well, some say yes. Most of them say no. I know, Monique. Oh, my God, Republicans. They find lots of millions of dollars for other things, though. It's just when it comes to actually giving a fuck about the children who are born that it all kind of falls apart. By the way, the best places to be pregnant, the places where you've got the best of a fighting chance of having your baby survive in the United States? Massachusetts, 3.7. Minnesota, 4.8. New Hampshire, 4.2. North Dakota, 4.3. Oh, up there in Ohio where they want the 11-year-old to have her rapist's baby? Yeah, Ohio's not such a great place either. 7.2 is the infant mortality rate in Ohio. Yeah. California, 4.2. Colorado and Connecticut tied at 4.5. You know, you're never going to get to zero because sometimes things just go wrong. But of course, they don't care in places like Alabama and Ohio and Kentucky and Mississippi. Tennessee, 7.4, tied with Alabama. Yeah, don't much care. Because I guess those real babies aren't as politically useful as the fake ones. The ones that are more close akin to, you know, sea monkeys. So I thought we should probably address all those things and put a little bow on it to demonstrate just how awful these Republicans are. Steve in New York says, I'm having a hard time caring. I'm torn between caring about folks in Alabama and not. Your current story is making me doubt that given the suffering of the women who didn't vote for this. However, Bob, those folks keep doing this. At which point do we in the civilized world just not care? What sometimes really sucks is being a liberal, progressive, etc., because that means I have a conscience and I can't necessarily countenance that. It's troubling. It's like the conversation I had with Flavio last night. I mean, if you care enough to try to help, then listen to the people who are engaged in the struggle on the ground. And by struggle, I don't mean lack of a Trader Joe's, as that asshole from Huntington, West Virginia, argued this week in print. It's, you know, thank goodness for those who will mount legal challenges to this. But, and this is kind of history-ish, I know it kind of relies on superstitious concepts. But when you consider that the first great confrontation between European invaders and indigenous people trying to save their world took place in what is now Alabama, at a place called Maubla, and that the indigenous people came very close to wiping out the invaders, but didn't. That was a soaking of the ground in blood that presaged the entire rest of the history of the state. Because maybe others can't see it, but I can. Alabama's toxic racism and Alabama's toxic misogyny go hand in hand because they spring from the same source. A toxic approach to both governance and social control via religion. My friend Jeff Biggers wrote a book called Trials of a Scold, about a magnificent woman named Ann Royal, America's first muckraker journalist. And she wrote travel logs. And she went down to the Alabama frontier when it really was the frontier and documented what a hellish existence it was for people who were not well-to-do. Alabama has mostly never been a good place. Is there a good place to be poor? Is there a good place to be exploited? Overworked, underpaid, not paid at all? I don't know. But Alabama was a bad place. There in the midst of the forests rose up magnificent plantation mansions built by people whose labor was stolen from them, whose babies that survived were born into a system that would eventually, as soon as they were able to work, steal their labor from them. And so, I guess the question I'm asking is whether a place like that can ever actually be healed. We had a chance, we blew it, when the federal government bailed out as a result of political machinations, bailed out on Reconstruction. But what probably should have happened then was never going to happen. The so-called radical Republicans back then, who were the liberals of their day, were arguing that all of the plantation owners should be driven off their land and kind of given the Trail of Tears treatment. Go somewhere else. Do your own damn work. Some of them did it voluntarily and set up an enclave in Brazil, which would not eliminate slavery for another, 23 years? But that didn't happen. And so the system self-perpetuated. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, but Bob, how much will it cost Alabama Republicans to defend their new anti-abortion law all the way up to the Supreme Court? That could go to the $35 million shortfall. Yes, it could. But there's no amount of money that is too great when it comes to putting bigotry and hate ahead of the well-being of the people who live in the state. For sure. But I've mentioned over the course of the week that these anti-abortion bills are a sort of competition. Georgia competing with Alabama, competing with Ohio, to find out who can take the biggest, runniest, stinkinest dump on the female gender. And Alabama, proudly, I'll tell you, proudly, as Kay Ivey noted, ran to the forefront with their bill, but they are about to be overtaken by, drumroll please, Texas. Yep. Because Texas ain't playing. Texas is finally going to say what other states have been afraid, you know, because there's kind of a third rail in abortion politics. The logical conclusion to anti-abortionism is not just that you should put the doctor in prison for 99 years, which is what Alabama does, but rather that what you've got to do, and remember, Donald Trump at one point in time when he was running for president said this is how he felt about it, And then he ran away from it when people... It was the one thing he ran away from. He didn't run away from making a mockery of a man with a disease. He didn't run away from the sleazing he did of the appearance of women. He didn't run away from his Mexican rapist comment. He didn't run away from his John McCain comments. But he ran away on one occasion. And that was when he said that women should be prosecuted and imprisoned for having an abortion. That one he backed off of. Well, yeah, that wasn't really what Donald Trump meant. Right. Well, Texas has finally gotten there. There is a bill in the Texas State House introduced this week. No, I'm sorry, introduced last month, not this week. That makes all abortions a crime. Incest, abortion's a crime. Rape, abortion's a crime. Baby dying in the womb won't make it past birth, abortion's a crime. It was introduced by a state representative named Tony Tinderholt. And it has made it further than any such bill, and it was introduced in 2017 as well. Remember, the Texas legislature only meets every 2 years. But that bill has made it further than it ever has before. It's not without opposition. Tony Tinderholt, speaking to the Texas Observer, said, "Well, we mean to force women to be more personally responsible with sex." None of that personal responsibility for the Tony Tinderholts of the world, though. No, 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 no. Because, see, Tony Tinderholt said, right now it's real easy. Right now they don't make it important to be personally responsible because they know they have a backup of, oh, I can just go get an abortion. So, don't be surprised if Texas doesn't get out there in front of Alabama, which will then drive Alabama crazier than a sprayed roach, and they'll have to introduce a bill that says not only will we prosecute the woman, we'll put her in the stocks or the dunking chair, or we'll allow her skin to be flayed from her body on live TV for all to see, because they're in a sort of a downward spiral of viciousness and hate. Meanwhile, Texans for Life, they said they're opposed to this bill. Because, see, if you let these bills reach their natural conclusions, then it will collapse under the weight of its own viciousness. They can't be out there saying outright what every last one of these political monsters really thinks. Meanwhile, let's check in the Show Me State, Missouri. Yeah. The voters of some House district there have sent a pasty-faced, doughy white man by the name of Barry Hovis to the Missouri House of Representatives. He is, of course, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Republican. And they've been, Missouri's been debating abortion too, sure. And during the debate over the bill that they passed last week in Missouri, Brother Hovis, who was formerly some kind of cop, well, Brother Hovis said that them women's is blowing this rape business all out of proportion. They're just getting way too upset about all that rape stuff.
But there's a big exception when we're talking about innocent life and someone who's went out and purposely killed someone that would make them eligible for that death penalty. And those are topics I want to discuss later. But by having this point not start until 8 weeks, let's just say someone goes out and they have, or they're raped or they're sexually assaulted one night after a college party. Because most of my rapes were not the gentleman jumping out of the bushes that nobody had ever met. That was one or two times out of 100. Most of them were date rapes or consensual rapes, which were all terrible. But I'd sat in court.
Yeah, he said it. Consensual rapes. I don't even know what that is. I mean, I'm plumb licked. No freaking idea. I mean, consent and rape can only exist in the same sentence if the word consent or consensual is in the negative. Because consent is presumed to be in the negative because it is rape. Even with something like third degree, what we call third degree sexual assault in West Virginia, which is often referred to as statutory rape, well, that is defined as sex by an overage person with an underage person in which the law deems the underage person incapable of consent by reason of age. So, consent and rape are at polar opposites, and yet you gotta wonder what kind of a cop this freak was that he thought a woman could consent to be raped. Jesus Christ!
My rapes were not the gentleman jumping out of the bushes that nobody had ever met.
His rapes. You gotta wonder if that was one of those goddess of irony, his Freudian slip is showing sort of moments.
Goes out and they have, or they're raped or they're sexually assaulted one night after a college party. Because most of my rapes were not the gentleman jumping out of the bushes that nobody had ever met.
Gentlemen? You know, these fuckers really are in the hands of the goddess of irony. Because he just referred to a rapist as a gentleman. Yes, yes, after all, gentlemen rapists. That's gentlemen rapists leaping out of bushes. Yes, Monique, I know. OMG. Gentlemen. The gentlemen. Gentlemen. White gloves rape. Rape with a monocle and a top hat and a walking stick. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Gentlemanly rape. Jesus.
Met. That was one or two times out of 100. Most of them were date rapes or consensual rapes, which were all terrible. But I'd sat in court. When
you know, I was always taught that people sit, but hens set. But he sets in court.
Juries would struggle with those type of situations where it was a he said, she said, and they would find the person not guilty. Unfortunate if it really happened. But
it's just unfortunate if it really happened. Meanwhile, you know, the Republicans have the bit in their teeth. And a few years back, it was Todd Akin, wasn't it, who introduced the great consensual rape debate. And it proved to be problematic for them. But this time through, they just don't care. Yeah, Monique, that's true. Someone needs to check on what district this thing was a cop in for unsolved rapes. Not playing. But, you know, this is another case of when they believe them, when they tell you who they are. Because they're not playing either. David in South Carolina stand with a note. Judges from the Confederacy, their latest trick is to put sycophantic GOP judges on the Ninth Circuit. These people do not even reside in California and are opposed by both California senators. It is literally unprecedented. Precisely, Monique pointing out, these people seriously project and they tell on themselves. If there's any kind of an upside to any of this, it's that polling is now being done in the state of Alabama. It had not been released before. Mother Jones has the story. And there's that magic number again. Only 31% of voters in Alabama, which is roughly the same percentage of maggots nationwide, only 31% of voters in Alabama support a total ban on abortion. 65% oppose banning it in cases of rape and incest, or as we understand it now, support allowing a woman to exercise her constitutional right only after she has been subjected to sexual violence. Oh, I know, the distinctions are many and varied and fine, I suppose, Brother Deacon Asa. Was Brother Hovis talking about legitimate rape or casual rape? So, too, how are we going to broach the subject of sincerely held rape? Yes, Tracy, he did. Oh my fucking God, did he just say consensual rape? Yeah, Agnes sent me that story about the poll in Alabama. And that poll is from last year. And there is a reference to the fact that, again, to Todd Akin. And then Richard Murdoch, who called rape a gift from God. But Alabamians, despite what hypocritical, murderous Kay Ivey says, no, most Alabamians don't think that rape and incest are precious gifts from God. Sooner or later, they'll pass the law that puts women in prison for getting an abortion. And maybe then this country will begin to wake up. I mean, look, okay, so maybe there's not so much waking up to be done, because 60-70% of the population of this country supports keeping abortion safe and legal, and a decision to be made between a woman and her medical professional and if she believes in one, you know, an imaginary friend. But this is once again a manifestation of the failure of our political system. And at the risk of sounding flip, which I do not intend to be, this is not the only area in which this issue is being borne out. Mike Lee, who considers himself to be a real live smart person scholar, senator from Utah, who, if his brains were gas, wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run halfway around a BB, decided to unburden himself of his feelings about the LGBTQ Equality Act, which was passed over in the House of Representatives and is another of those bills that's just sitting at the Senate and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So today, Mike Lee took to the Twitter, where he said, "Americans are becoming more tolerant every day, which is why the Equality Act is so counterproductive. It unnecessarily pits communities against each other and divides our nation when patience and understanding are so sorely needed." I think he's being strangled by his Mountain Magic underwear. Just let that sink in for a second. The senior senator from Utah has declared that a law to ban discrimination against members of the LGBTQ community is counterproductive. Subjected to something resembling analysis, what this then means is that Mike Lee considers discrimination productive. Non-discrimination equals, if non-discrimination equals counterproductive, ergo, discrimination equals productive. Unnecessarily pits communities against each other? What community? Poughkeepsie versus Peoria? Busted Knuckle versus Fraser's Bottom? No, he means the LGBTQ community, I presume, and everybody else. Holy shit. The LGBTQ community is counterproductive because they would like to not be fired simply for being who they are. They would like to not be denied access to affordable housing or housing at all just because of how they love. We got that? Yeah. Real genius, that Mike Lee. I mean, what kind of an antediluvian query is that? Why do the gays want to be equal with people who ain't gay? What's wrong with being a second-class citizen? You can't make this stuff up. I wish I was making this stuff up. As Monique points out, they're all insane. Steve in New York says, anti-LGBT discrimination laws make discrimination based upon sexual orientation, among other things, illegal. I can't wait until a person is fired for being straight. which is itself, let's remember, a sexual orientation. Hoo-wee! There would be more millions raised on the back of that case by outfits like Liberty Lobby and that grifter Matt Staver and the American Family Association and Fuck Us Some Families and, oh my God. You know how much money they raised off of a goddamn wedding cake, right? Sure. Of course, Mike Lee has never once in his miserable existence had to deal with discrimination. Nobody's ever denied Mike Lee a job because of how he fucks. Nobody has ever refused to rent or sell him a place to live because of who he shares a bed with. Mike Lee is one of those people that Dr. King was talking about in Letter from Birmingham Jail when he says that the people who say, wait, the time isn't right, are greater enemies than the bull Connors with their fire hoses and attack dogs. He can say Americans are becoming more tolerant every day, but people in the LGBTQ community continue to be beaten, maimed, assaulted, murdered on a daily basis in this country. So his opinion cannot stand the scrutiny of fact. You know, sometimes on Fridays, I like to catch up with stuff we didn't get to during the rest of the week. But we haven't been able to do that in a long time, because there's no let up. Every day brings a new set of horrors. It was just before 5 p.m. when Steve Mnuchin, beating the deadline, got his letter to the House of Representatives, in which he told them to fuck off, that he was not going to follow the law that says that he will go to jail if he doesn't turn over Trump's tax returns, because he has determined that Congress lacks a legitimate legislative purpose. And he states in his letter that he has connived with the Department of Justice in reaching that conclusion. Yeah. Which means that they've entered into a conspiracy. Yay. Yay, indeed. Note coming from Jimmy in the Great Northwest. It's not far-fetched that those fools would try to make it illegal for a woman to get pregnant without the okay of a man. No, it's not. There are lots of next steps. They just have to get this step confirmed. And you know that Brat Kavanaugh, he likes beer, you know, is sitting there just itching. He can't wait for these cases to get to him. because then he will finally be able to finish what he started with Christine Blasey Ford and effect a nationwide fucking on every woman in the country. What a guy. What a guy. So here we are at the top of the hour. That's enough filibobstering for now. Let's run over and check in with Sparky around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky, how are you this evening?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt. It's kind of coolish out here.
I was going to say, you're kind of freezing your tuchus off, right?
No, I'm not freezing my tuchus off. I just cut a nice cushion for my tuchus.
Oh, nice.
I used a hot knife, cut some foam.
So are you in the man cave, or are you back in the house?
No, I'm in the man cave.
Okay, because I was going to say, I didn't hear the heater blowing.
No, there's no heat out here. Going. I don't need to heat as long as I got the sweatshirt.
But you've had, I read the story the other day about the atmospheric river flowing over Northern California and Southern Oregon. Said that the high slopes of places like Mount Lassen could see as much as 30 inches of snow this weekend.
Yeah, that's possible. And it's supposed to start raining again tomorrow.
Yeah, what you get is rain down there is going to be snow up there, if I understand correctly.
Well, I can't see the mountain. It's covered with clouds right now. We had a hell of a storm the other night. And then last night, I just went outside, and the wind was blowing. I mean, all day yesterday, the wind was blowing 40-mile-an-hour gusts and stuff like that. And I went outside last night to look and saw off to the east towards Mount Lassen, where I look for Mount Lassen. Beautiful thunder and lightning storm going on, you know, with the sideways lightning that goes across the clouds and creeps instead of just going down to the ground.
Yeah, the cloud to cloud stuff, and far enough away not to be dangerous.
Oh yeah, I couldn't even hear the booms. You could just see the lightning.
That's cool.
So it had to be miles and miles and miles away.
Well, with any luck, it'll return to. I don't know. It may be that kind of a summer for you out there. Welcome to climate change.
Oh, I don't know. We'll still have a fire season. You bet that. I just hope nothing else burns up like paradise. I get a little tired of seeing it. Dump trucks going up and down the road now. I don't know when they're going to end. Like I told you the other day.
Where are they taking it to?
A landfill north of me. About 20 miles north of Red Bluff. So they haul it all the way down from Paradise through Chico, all the way up through Red Bluff, and then on up the freeway between Cottonwood and Anderson. There's a landfill up there. The rolling hills, and they're filling in, you know.
I'm just curious, when the dump trucks go by, are they tarped or are they open?
Oh, they're all tarped. They got to have a roll-up tarp that's on an arm. So when they get to where they're going, they just go to the back of the truck, and they've got like bungee cords that hold it down on the back. They just release the bungee cords, and then pick this arm up, and the tarp will roll itself up.
Well, that's good, because those, you know, that ash and debris does not need to be in the air.
And there's toxic waste, and I don't know what they're doing with the asbestos. It may be going somewhere else. But there's 500 trucks a day going through here.
Jesus, criminy!
A day going up to that landfill, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch going south too to Wheatland. They got another landfill down there that they're using. Well, when you got 19,000 structures burnt to the ground, there's a lot of waste.
Yeah, no kidding.
Concrete slabs.
And it'll be a long time getting back to anything resembling normal.
They got to dig out the dirt if it's got toxic waste in it. Some of the sites have been roped off with tape. The guys are in spacesuits cleaning up the asbestos.
Because it was old buildings that had asbestos in it, is that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the downtown area of Paradise burned up. It's been there. Since after the war, probably, when the first migration started out of the Bay Area. Because a lot of people started moving. That's how my parents got up to Willows first. And then when my mom got her teaching credential from Chico State, we moved to Red Bluff for her to take a job here. And then my dad went to work building the freeway through here.
So, are you going to be subject to those PG&E blackouts?
I'm not sure, because I'm thinking mostly in the foothills, where there's a lot of power lines and stuff in there, but because there's a big power line that runs from Oroville right through Paradise. And that's something that might have had something, because I'm sure it's probably a limb that broke off and got blown. It had 70 mile an hour wind gusts, just like Santa Rosa did.
So, is anybody, because I noticed on the Green News Report yesterday, Brad and Desi talking, and Desi asking, you know, why don't they bury these things? Is it just too much or too expensive, or they don't want to, or? Because, I mean, around here, I ask because around here it would be very, very difficult to bury power lines. Because you go a foot deep and you're on top of sandstone that goes, you know, the rest of the way to the center of the earth.
Transmission lines are, you know, on the towers and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they can't bury those two because they have to, the voltage on them is so high.
They couldn't put them in the ground.
Mine's running up here. Like, up where the wind farm is on Hatchet Mountain. I mean, they buried all that stuff that goes into the substation, but out of the substation it goes overhead and down the mountain to a transmission line.
Right.
So, It's not economical to do that.
No, it would be more economic to have a decentralized grid with everybody producing some of their own power, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you'd still need something.
Yeah.
I mean, you still need to get the power off the wind turbines and the big, like the solar plants they got down in the desert in Southern California that run 24 hours a day. With the molten salt.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are the solar furnaces with the salt. I still think that's really cool. Well, and fire season starts officially, what, June?
When Cal Fire says it starts.
Yeah. You're probably already in it, you just don't know it.
Yeah, but everything's pretty much wet again here. Now, so I don't think there'd be any major fires.
Yep, Grady sounds excited.
Oh, he chases after the German Shepherd next door. They have a... Oh. The neighbor one house over, she's out riding her horse.
Ah.
And she's got two Australian Shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
That are running around with her. She's got a little track over there that she's made. And she just, you know, barely trot the horse around. The dogs are running in front of her. That got the German Shepherd next door going, and that got Grady going.
Domino effect. It looks like we've got a good group in this evening. Let's run around and see what's going on. Hey, Brother Steve, you had a question to get us kicked off, didn't you?
Bob, the pimp in the box. What's going on, brother?
Wait, the who in the what?
The pimp in the box.
Me?
What's shaking, bro?
Not a heck of a lot. I really do hope I get some decent weather this weekend. I haven't fired up the grill since spring started.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get some good weather, too. It looks like a heat wave is coming in here in the southeast. It's going to be near 100 next week. So weather's just gone off the hook, man.
Oh, it got real nice and warm today. I gotta work on getting everything redone here in the studio. I'm just going to have maybe this weekend, if it stays dry enough that I can haul some stuff out into the yard and get it set up so that I can go out and use a wireless mic and sit in the sunshine and do the show. I think that'd be cool.
Well, let's get this out of the way first. I want to put up a Steve Welcomes Bob, the Pimp in the Box Challenge.
The all-around great guy Steve Pimp in the Box Challenge, okay.
No, you're the pimp in the box, bro, not me.
Will you explain that?
Yeah, because I'm a little lost.
The Jim Rome Show?
Yeah, that's from the Jim Rome Show.
I didn't know he was still on the air. Have a take and don't suck, man.
Dude was talented. Well, he still is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The pimp in the box. Okay, pimp in the box challenge on the table.
There you go. Steve's pimp in the box challenge. It's on the table. So I'm glad somebody else has heard of that, so they would get it, you know. You didn't have a clue, did you, Bob?
I'd probably heard it somewhere along the way, but it's been a long time since I even considered the existence of Jim Rome.
Yeah, it just means somebody cool coming out of your radio. You know, okay. That's all. You know. Got it.
So what's the challenge?
It's $20 pimp in the box challenge.
Okay, and let me see here. If that gets met, because there was a little community miracle that happened earlier, if that gets met, we'll be very near to being done with fundraising for the week. Big thanks to another member of the fraternity of Steve, who jumped in and knocked out a big, big lump of it. So that, that'd get us down to about, what, 15, 20, like 20 bucks more to go, and we'd be done.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I knew it would happen. I was in the chat room earlier and said, Bob, don't worry about it. You know, we got this. So I knew it would happen because Fridays, just magic things happen on Fridays, you know.
Well, you know how I feel about magic. I think I'm more impressed by the goodwill of the people that comprise this community.
All right. Yeah. Well, good people happen, and they step up to the plate on Friday because we can, you know.
Right. So, right. $20 challenge on the table. And that'll get us within 20 bucks of being finished for the week. So thank you, Steve. Hopefully somebody out there will match your challenge, and
I hope so.
We'll be rocking and rolling and paying bills like a wild man. You contacted me last night and said you had a question a question to get us off and running this evening.
Well, I had an observation. You know how everybody's gooning on Joe Biden because he's trying to, in my opinion, you know, when he says, you know, all we got to do is remove Trump, and then the right wing will get warm and fuzzy again. you know.
Yeah, they'll get out. Yeah, they'll get that. They'll get out their kazoos and start playing Kumbaya and all that shit.
Right. I think I know why he's doing that, and it has a lot to do with he's trying to appeal with those people that say, "Well, I'm an independent," and you know. Independents are people, and I know these people, and you probably do too, and they're not bad people. They're just people that have to work 2 and 3 jobs a week to feed their family, and they don't pay attention.
I think that's some of them, Steve, but I'm not convinced that that's all of them. I mean,
I don't want to lump everybody in together in the same cart, but I think that was who he was trying to appeal to, is these swing voters, these right-wing,
he's afraid that he can't win without the economically anxious white voters from the Midwest.
And I've always heard, Bob, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the independents always decide the election.
I don't know if that's a myth or not.
You've heard it, though, haven't you?
I don't think they decided the election in 8 or 12. And I don't think you can draw any conclusions about 16, because it was a perfect storm of fuckery between the Russians and Comey. And a campaign that was not picking at scabs, but a campaign that wasn't run particularly well. It was atypical.
And we got fucked in 2000 too. That Gore v. Bush thing, that was horrible.
Sure,
you know.
And at the end of the day, independents didn't decide anything because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million.
But my thinking was that's why he was angling this like he is, and I was just wanting to get your feedback and your take and everybody else's takes to see if I'm off my nut or am I onto something here.
Well, I mean, I think Joe's a kumbaya guy.
Can I chime in here?
Well, please. Do. Yes.
I think you're both wrong. I think Joe is just out of touch. And let's be honest here. Independents don't mean shit if you can't turn out your base. And the base will not be excited to go out and vote and work for Joe Biden.
That's a good point, Brother Steve. I never thought of that, man, but yeah, it's a good point.
I know. I'm going to be honest with you. If that's what they do, listen, if the Democrats don't impeach, if they don't ramp up, if they don't play like the Republicans would play, and then they go ahead and nominate that thing, I'm done.
Well, if they nominate that thing, I'm going to be a sleepy Joe Biden supporter. I have to be, Steve. God damn, man, I have to be. As bad as it's going to hurt me, here we go again. You know, vote for somebody you don't want to vote for. But fuck, it's either this or this orange monster.
What scares me to death is the fact that there are too many indicators that he's going to wind up doing the same thing that Hillary had to do, and that is spend an entire campaign in response mode. What about the busing, Joe? What about the crime bill, Joe? What about the bankruptcy bill, Joe?
What about Anita Hill?
What about Anita Hill, Joe?
Right, he's got so much baggage, but with baggage comes, he knows where all the bodies are buried, too. You know, he could get shit done. He's got that. You know, and I don't want him. I don't want him. I'm not going to vote for him in the primaries. But if I'm
what can,
stuck
wait,
with
hold
him,
on. What can he get? Wait a minute, a second. I'm sorry to interrupt, but what can he get?
Skype is being weird again tonight, so I have a feeling we'll reconnect in a second. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tracy. The last I heard from you was, "What can he get?
What can he get done?"
I can't be specific, but he knows how to get shit done. And, you know, because he sees it. But, and I'm not endorsing him. Fuck, he's the last one I want. I mean, but if I have to, I'll vote for him. If he's the only one on the ticket, you know.
I understand that, but because you just said I... Here, and this is the problem, and I, you know, I don't, I do not attack people, and I usually just sit and be quiet when I listen, you know, throughout the program, and then I chime in on, you know, when you guys start talking about women's issues. But this one is like, when you say he could get stuff done, but you don't say what he can get done.
I don't know specifics, but I do know that he's been in this.
What you're saying,
that he knows where all the bodies are buried. So
what you're saying, Steve, is that he knows the process and he's got right. But what I'm hearing from Tracy is not just. I mean, Tracy, are you asking what are his policies, or are you asking within the larger universe of politics as they presently exist? How can he get anything done?
Right, pretty much both, actually. Because the thing is, for what he has gotten, okay, the things that he has gotten done, like, oh, the crime bill and the whole busing issue.
And I'll never forgive his ass for that credit card thing that he pushed.
And the bankruptcy thing.
My interest rate tripled, you know.
I don't know enough about...
Not my interest rate, but my minimum payment tripled.
Go, Tracy.
You know, I don't know enough about Joe Biden... Other than what I don't know enough about him other than what I know about the busing, the bankruptcy, credit, all this stuff. So the things that he has gotten done have been kind of detrimental to people, especially black people.
He got Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's a needed
right. Yeah. So it's just, I mean. Steve, I wholeheartedly agree that if he's on the ticket, if he's the Steve just said, you know what, I'm done, and I feel you on that one, my brother. But you know, and on the one that if he is the nominee, then I have no other choice but to vote for him. But when I'm hearing, I'm listening to what Elizabeth Warren is talking about
love her, man.
You know, now that she's going full throttle on, you know, making sure she's trying to introduce bills about abortion laws that they're federal and that they can't
No, it's going to be one of those nights.
Bob, I hear everybody fine.
Yeah, I know, but I'm losing it here from time to time, and I'm losing people in mid-sentence. Tracy, Steve, maybe I'll probably wind up being called ageist or something out of this, but I've still got a case of the Crawleys over the fact that the guy that they think can beat Trump is going to make Trump the young guy in the race? I mean, does that bother anybody? And
yeah, but the same can be said about Bernie, too. God love him.
Yes.
He, you know?
I don't think this is the time.
And I'll probably get all kind of hate email now. Let me just clarify. I'm not boning on Bernie. I will vote for him, too. I love what he has to say. He talks to me. Okay? Same as Liz.
But Liz Warren is coming way, way up in my estimation right now. The fact that she had the nerve to speak truth to power about Fox News got a bunch of points in my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact,
absolutely.
This is life on Earth. Putting octogenarians in the presidency can't help but be a terrible idea.
But would you consider Elizabeth Warren an octogenarian? I mean,
no, an octogenarian is somebody who's 80.
Yeah.
She's 69 right now. She'd be the same age as Trump going into office.
So are we talking about oxygenarians, folks?
No, octogenarians. No, we're not.
I'm joking.
I'm not talking about the air breathers.
I'm going to get a cheap cowbell for that? Probably not.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, I'm feeling generous.
I would like to ask Tracy a question if she's still there.
You there, Tracy? Yeah, Tracy's still
there. Yeah, hold on. I had to put you on mute. I thought I had turned down my TV, but I wasn't.
Sweet face, just a quick question for you, and I mean this from the heart. What would be your dream ticket?
I don't have a dream ticket.
Okay, you don't have a top two?
I said, at this point, I'm Elizabeth Warren has leaped bounds over people at this point, just because what she's trying to do. What Bob said about the fact that she said, I will not appear on any town halls for Fox News because of who they are, what they represent, and I'm not even about to bring my Democratic people to Fox News to up their ratings. I will not do anything to help Fox News.
And that sets her off against the people who want to go and wallow with them. And unfortunately, Bernie was one of the people who went for a wallow.
But I'm an independent.
Well,
I disagree.
With what? With what?
Yeah. This is Jason here.
Hey, Jason, what's going on, bro?
Good, good. I haven't called in. I called in a couple times before, but
it's good to hear from you.
I completely respect and understand Elizabeth Warren's refusal to go on Fox, and I also I'm glad that she was not shy about calling them the propaganda shit factory that they are. However, I also think Bernie's valid too. I mean, he can engage with people that aren't necessarily religious conservatives, but they're just misguided. Folks that they will respond to a populist message. Question is whether it's going to be an economic populist message coming from Bernie, or is it an authoritarian populist message coming from Trump? They'll go either way, and Bernie potentially needs Fox to reach some of those people. So anyway, I'll stop there.
Well, no, I mean go as far as you need to go, Jason. But I think you think people exist over there that I don't think exist over there. Because I have the West Virginia experience of 2016.
Well, you live right in the middle of it, and I live in bluer than blue San Francisco Bay Area. So I admit that my perspective is much different than yours.
And the only thing that I would, and I've mentioned this before, but Bernie won all 55 counties in West Virginia in the primary in 2016, and a shit ton of those people ran to the polls to vote for Trump, because he had told them during the primary season, don't worry about voting for me, vote for Bernie. He said that. And they did, and even if Bernie had been the nominee, there was no way they were ever going to vote for him. So, I mean, I have to take that into consideration. Does that make any sense? And here we go again with Skype being funny. And the group will be back in a minute. I hope. And we're back. I don't know how much of that got through, but
we're not losing your audio at all, Bob.
I heard it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I mean,
I hear every word.
Jason, does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it makes some sense. I think the truth is probably in the middle somewhere, in that I think some of them can be swayed and some of them are goners. They're part of a cult, and there's the more you try to sway them, the more they dig into their cult alt reality, And so I don't know where the line is. I don't think it's absolutely one way or the other. I don't know.
And we'll be back in a minute again. This isn't a bandwidth thing. This is a Skype thing. And I get that, well, at least y'all are hearing, but I don't get to hear y'all, which is just bizarre. And there's absolutely no stress on this connection whatsoever. Come on. Oh, for pity's sakes. I'm gonna bail out and jump back in. Anybody? Sorry, dead air. I mean, I could recite the Wreck of the Hesperus, I guess, but if you guys are hearing me, and I don't know that you are, connect to me, would you please? Well, there's part of the problem. Ah, there's a bigger part of the problem. Of course. This one's on Frontier. Yeah, no, if you're listening to the stream, you're hearing me fine. It's just trying to get into the group.
Redneck baby, no.
Okay.
No, because hey, it's not just redneck.
There's
just
rednecks up in Minnesota. Understand what I'm saying.
No, baby, no. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not just because when people hear redneck, there's rednecks in Minnesota, there's rednecks everywhere. But when people hear the word redneck, they automatically assume, you know, poor white trash, down south, whatever. The mean income of the average Trump voter was $86,000 a year. They were college educated people. Okay? Not these economically anxious motherfuckers that they've been that everybody's been saying got Trump into office. No.
But couldn't 10 billionaires really raise that number to a ridiculous rate that's really not reliable?
What do you mean?
Raise the mean, like ridiculous billionaires that wanted him, you know.
But if that was the mean, $86,000 is not going to be the mean for billionaires.
Right, but they're in on this too, aren't they? This equation. Or are you just talking about
they're not in that equation.
But they're players in it. They're players in the game. It's just a different part of the game. I saw a number earlier today. One person, okay, the Judicial Action Network. You saw the ads back during the confirmation battle over Brett Kavanaugh. When that went down, Judicial Action Network spent tens of millions of dollars. 17 million of the dollars came from one person. We don't know who it is because of the dark money, you know, because that's the way the game is rigged. But one person provided $17 million of what was spent trying to get Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. So they're out
wow,
there.
That's disgusting.
They're playing.
It's staggering, man.
You know, they're out there and they're playing. I was gone for a minute, so just let me
think how many people that could have fed, you know.
Sure.
Crazy.
But Tracy's point is well taken about, you know, rednecks, and I'm guilty of it too. The maggots.
Well, I didn't mean it as a slur. I probably should have picked a better term, Bob.
Well, no, that's fine. There's not a problem with the language. And by the way, your challenge got met by Texas Tea, so thank you to Texas
Tea. That's awesome. Thank you, Texas Tea.
There's why we're having problems. Thunder. It's thundering, so the internet doesn't work.
Frontier?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Old reliable, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, old unreliable, but yeah. Old drive me to drink.
But my ancestry comes from southwestern Virginia, Bob, in the Bristol, Tennessee area, Bristol, Virginia. You know where that's at. You can't get any more southern than that. So I'm not throwing off on me
and
my own people.
No, Steve. The point is.
No, that's not what we're saying, baby.
That's not what Tracy was on about. It was that the toothless hillbilly redneck meth munching sister fister is not the group that got that got him elected. It was people who were making $86,000 a year. It was middle class people who said fuck the country. But you know, you can be middle class and $86K a year and put your little fucking hood on and go off to the Clavering meeting every second and fourth Thursday of the month.
But my concern, Bob, and I wanted your take on this. Do you think that $86K is inflated by the, you know,
no,
100 billionaires?
No. It is not inflated.
Wow, that's a lot of money. To me, it is.
These people went to good public schools,
yeah,
and they went to good public schools where there probably weren't a lot of shade of non-white, let's say, right? I mean, they were all basically looked like them, acted like them, were raised like them, and taught that they were the privileged.
Yeah,
and that
the chosen.
Privilege, the chosen people.
What,
yes,
you know, what, you know,
privilege.
what Van Jones, before he went over to the dark side, called white lash.
Yeah,
I've got it, and it's okay for you
to feel like that.
And he, you know, and that's the thing. It's a sort of a, you know, Donald Trump did for some of the people in this country, it was the political equivalent of a hand job. Okay, you know, not particularly gratifying, but makes you feel, I guess, a little better than you felt before you got it.
An old fashioned, huh?
Unless you're caught on a film like Robert Trout.
Well, but he got it suppressed, so groovy.
Hey, it works.
Right.
Yeah, the movie's not going to be released, huh?
Suppression can drop me in the case, I think. And that's
a hell of a metaphor, Bob.
Can I explain what Steve was talking about?
Yeah, please.
And I'm going to give a weirdo statistics lesson because I know this sounds weird. I was a natural at statistics. I'll give you an example. Here's what Steve was talking about. And this is why averages are deceptive. You have three people. One earns $1. Another earns $1. One earns $10. On average, they earn $4, which means the two people, the average is four times the two lowest people. What you have to look at to see the validity of the 86,000 figure is, what is the median? You need to see the validity of the average by looking at
across to the mean.
The median, which tells you the median is that point at which there's an equal number of people on either side of that. So if the median and the mean are fairly close, that 86,000 is meaningful. If they're not, then the mean doesn't really mean much. That being said, I think it's less about the income than it is. The fact is that the education level of the Trumpansies was not, generally speaking, a bunch of hayseeds who, you know, didn't know how to brush their teeth. Okay? And, you know, and I'm going to go back. I had to go back and say one other thing about Bernie. Somebody on, about him going on Fox, and I don't remember who it was, but someone here tonight made the comment that those were perhaps people that he could sway. And I completely disagree. Going on Fox, the value of that is this. It has nothing to do with him swaying anybody who is a Trumpansee. What it has to do with is swaying non-committed independents who can look at that and go, wow, he's not just a lefty. He has no problem talking to the other side. That's the value. Because the thing about Bernie being the nominee, if he's the nominee, there's no question that the base, certainly more than Biden, is going to be motivated to vote. That's when the independents become more important.
Right. Well, help me.
I agree with you.
Help me define independent. And did I have it right when I said it's somebody working three jobs? And
no, I
not, no. It's a Republican. It's a Republican who's ashamed to admit they're a Republican and wants to smoke dope.
God damn, Bob.
No, that's a libertarian.
You're more
Bob.
Cynical.
No, that's a libertarian.
Oh, libertarian.
Well, I think it's also independent.
Really, when somebody says I'm an independent, to me that's a cop out. If you can't pick a side now after seeing what the fuck has been happening for the last couple of years, you're not paying attention.
Well, exactly. Let's
right along those lines, and then I'll shut up. Right along those lines.
Keep talking, brother.
No, but somebody else wanted to chime in. Right along those lines. I'm sorry. And Bob made mention of this before, weeks ago. If the Democrats don't do what they need to do and impeach this fucker, and apply the constitutional means to do so, then what they're saying is, hey, what they're saying is that the Constitution doesn't really mean anything. It's not that important.
Wipe your ass with it.
It's a talking point. And guess what? That's, they're saying that to me. At that point, I say, okay, great. The Republicans are the ones who play politics and get shit done. You sit there and look at it on the sidelines. And when you see them playing dirty, you're screaming at the referees rather than going, I'm going to get in there and play dirty too and beat the shit out of them.
I got a little pushback on the whole thing. Wait, hold on. I have a little pushback on the. I have a push.
Go, Tracy.
I'm going to say this, then I promise I'll shut up.
Okay.
No. I want him to finish because I do have a pushback on the whole independent thing.
I'll tell you what.
Steve had one more quip he wanted to get in, Bob.
Yeah, go, Steve.
That's it. If that happens, if they don't do anything, I'm not voting. And that's when I will make the decision, finally. I'm fucking leaving this country. I will go with my partner to Canada, slam the goddamn door, and never look back. And sorry, but
I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you, Steve.
And there's a lot of people that are on the same wavelength, brother. So
don't ignore your U.S. tax matters, because you still are taxable on all worldwide income as a U.S. citizen. So
fuck them. I'm going to denounce my citizenship, and the IRS can go fuck itself.
Well, you have to pay an exit tax that equals what your assets are, and all
fuck
sorts
them.
Of stuff like that. So.
Fuck them.
Well, Steve, he's
wait, hold on.
Rick's the tax attorney.
Wait, Steve, we're trying.
Wait,
okay.
wait.
Yeah, we got an order here.
Say,
now go Tracy.
Because here's okay. As far as what you who said about if you're independent, you just can't make up your mind. You sound like the same people that say if a person is bisexual, they just can't make up their mind. What the problem? Because as I take as an independent, because I'm registered as an independent, I am not a registered Democrat. I vote Democratic because most of the time their views align with mine. But for the last few couple of decades, their Democratic values have now aligned with mine as being a Black woman who's a lesbian in this country. So when you're not even talking to me, you're not talking to me as a mother of a young black man, as a lesbian, as a Black woman, period, that not just has to deal with misogyny, but misogynoir, which is, misogyny and just add on being a Black woman. No, when you're not talking to me, why the fuck should I be a Democrat? Seriously. Why? Because
which, if I may interject for a moment, Tracy, is exactly what gives so many people on our side of this, on our end of the debate, the creeps about Joe Biden, because certain elements inside and outside the Democratic Party have spent the last couple of years demeaning the very issues that you just mentioned and saying, no, it's all economics. No, it's all class. Well, that's bullshit. Okay? You can build a coalition that can give you the presidency and never miss those economic anxiety people who are the unicorns for which some of these multimillionaire for-profit media people constantly hunt.
Constantly, they're on this, and it's exhausting, and it's fucking exhausting. Because as a Black woman, when I say what I have, how I feel, oh, you're just being hypersensitive, you're overwrought, you're emotional. Fuck you.
Well, I'm
fucking pissed.
Well, and when I I go back to something I said a long time ago. And that is, when I hear people say, oh, fucking identity politics, man. What I recognize identity, what is called identity politics, for what they are. Their basic demand has got to be pretty well secure within their privilege to the point that they cannot see the lack thereof in other groups. So, I want an America that's America for all Americans. I don't want a tiered class society. For the longest time we heard, ooh, the millionaires and the billionaires are the problems, but now all of a sudden it's just the billionaires. So, that's troubling. I want to go back to something relative to Biden that James in Illinois said, because I think this is a pretty profound observation. He says, Biden's going to do for his big money supporters. If he talks about card check, that's where it'll end, although he may push a bit harder than Obama, but that lives or dies in Congress anyway. What concerns me about Biden is the environment. Joe's hookup with the unions is with that old school crowd that looks at the environment as the enemy of jobs, which it most certainly is not. Joe's about half measures and low taxes for the wealthy. I'm with Warren on that. Warren and Sanders need to put their heads together. One needs to bow out, but the people will decide that. What I also worry about with Warren is that she will fold in Biden's direction. And I think James has driven a bunch of nails in that note. The one thing I think Bill Maher may have done the biggest service he's ever done politically in the last couple of weeks when he coined the term for Donald Trump, Brocahontas. Because finally there's something to punch back at him with when he inevitably brings up the Pocahontas bullshit. because the maggots aren't going to get tired of his childish behavior. They revel in it. And so the only way to beat him is to have something ready to punch back in his face with. And Brocahontas is that.
I like Don the Con, too. That's a good one.
Yeah, but Brocahontas responds directly to the Pocahontas slur. And it also proves embarrassing to him. By the way, we now know that he's made some $479 million, I think, off of his violations of the Emoluments Clause. So we got that, too, to deal with.
Well, but Bob, when I started this topic, I wasn't gooning on independence. Not at all.
No, I didn't think you were.
From my part. Okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
But
because,
I mean, my understanding is independents constitute larger percentages and numbers of the population than either Republicans or Democrats.
Well,
but the question is how many of them, and see, they're not independent. Tracy, forgive me, but I think you're a little bit different as an independent than a lot of the independents that people think about when they use the term.
I'm pretty sure I am because I'm me.
Yeah, and only you can be you. But the thing is, there's a suspicion that there are a lot of independents out there who really aren't.
Right.
You know, because people like Todd and you, Steve, you know, you get up and you watch Washington Journal. How many independents do you call in on the independent line who aren't parroting some Republican talking point? Not damn many.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, usually the right uses that as a ruse to get through. Or they'll call in on the Democrat line and say, well, I've been a Democrat all my life, however, comma. And then they'll go on their spiel and their role about, you know, how they hate Democrats and why they love Trump. That's what they're doing now in Washington Journal.
And they're fine with Guatemalan children being aborted in the 13th trimester.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, and by the way, we killed another one.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
This one was a 2-year-old.
I mean, 10 years ago, Washington Journal didn't put up with that. If you called in on a certain line and said, well, I am this, but I used to be that, Brian Lamb would have cut you off before you had a chance to fart, you know? But now they just let them ramble on, man.
Yeah,
makes me wonder if they're not in the tank, you know.
Well, to me, you know, Joe Biden just strikes me as a used car salesman. He's just a go-along, get-along guy for the rich and the elite. You know, forget the proletariat. He's for the bourgeoisie.
And
here's the thing. Can't argue with that.
Well, so is Obama by that standard, though, Joe.
What's that?
So was Obama. You could have made the same criticism of Obama.
Well, I think Obama started out, and we believe he was something different. I think we know exactly what Joe Biden is.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know,
Yeah, by the way, we are having a humdinger of a thunderstorm outside. It's the rain sideways. It has turned dark as night, and the thunder is just sort of a perpetual roar.
Well, we can hear it, Bob.
Oh, is it coming through this time?
Yeah.
I can't hear it.
I hear it.
It sounds all right.
In between muting other people that are not talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people don't understand. This moderating thing's a job.
Hey, can I jump in?
Yeah, please.
Jason here. So the bottom line, as I see it, is Biden, like Clinton, is not going to inspire some of those independent voters that don't always show up to vote. They're not – a lot of them are just, you know, just working class folks that they're busy with their lives. They don't pay a whole lot of attention to politics. Or if they do, it's not until, you know, the last 3 months before the election. I think the Democratic Party, the progressive side of the spectrum, needs some bold leadership. I think that comes from either Sanders or Warren or Gabbard. You know, the people that can show that Democrats are willing to take a stand and lead. People don't necessarily need to agree with everything their leadership does. They just need to see some decisiveness. They don't need windsocks that blow, you know, one way or the other, depending on the audience they're talking to or depending on the polls at the moment. And Biden and Clinton and Booker and you know, some of the just the centrist establishment bought off corporate compromise Democrats. They don't inspire those folks. And somebody said that independents decide the elections. I don't know. I mean, turnout decides the elections, and we have to get some of those people off the fence. And
yeah, GOTMFV. Get out the vote.
Yeah, and so.
Yeah, if you don't excite your activist base, independents aren't going to decide squat.
Well, the activists are the people that are going to be out there knocking on the doors and making the phone call. I know because I do it.
Well, you know, thank you
I'm
for your effort.
I'm in California. Thank you. Yep. You know, and we need some. You know, but, you know, and if he is elected and nominated and elected, that I think it's pretty certain that he would be a one-term president. And
But if he had Elizabeth Warren as a backup, man.
Yeah, think that, you know, the only problem with a Sanders-Warren ticket is you got a couple people from England on the ticket. And how is the rest of the country going to view that? You know.
Right, and the constant, the business of... And what was it, last night or the night before? People asking Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris, gosh, how would you like to be Joe Biden's vice president?
Condescending as shit.
Yeah, it is.
The media is forcing Biden down their throat.
And it's the same game that, yeah. And again, these polls don't mean much to me right now. Because I've been, you know, I've seen enough of these things to remember what the polls looked like in 92 and in 88. And so consequently, you know, this far out, please. I am worried, Jason, because, you know, what you were mentioning. I am worried about the way the new rules have been structured relative to the superdelegates. To the extent that there is, you know, there's no superdelegates allowed to vote on the first ballot, but they get to vote on the second one and any subsequent ballots. So if there's any skullduggery afoot, it will be by way of making sure that nobody can get a majority on the first ballot. And when you got 25 freaking people running for president, it smells a little too much to me like that's the plan.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
May I make some input about the polls?
Well, here, let me share an email real quick. Because
Bob, are you hearing me? Or?
Yeah, I got you. Oh, okay. Let me share an email real quick.
I thought I might have blipped out too.
No. I'm having a harder time hearing y'all than y'all are me, but I hear you right now.
Okay.
But Lady B dropped a note and said, "I'm agreeing with Steve, y'all. Call us both negative and extreme, but fuck it. If the Democrats want to spend time chasing the votes of the middle, that's fine. But as a hardcore member of the base, I'm sick of it. Our country is slowly turning into a fascist state. Women's rights are openly under attack, and our planet is being destroyed by climate change. This ain't the 1950s. Again, I'll vote for him if he's the fucking Democratic nominee, but in the primary, it's probably going to be Liz Warren. We've still got time, but I'm sick of the establishment. Democrats are going to fuck around and create an extreme party among the extreme left, just like the right did with the Tea Party, and at my age, I think I'm cool with that. Besides, the only thing straddling the fence does is tear a girl's dress and squash a boy's balls."
Great email, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, she always brings it, that's for sure. The only thing I quibble with her is we're slowly becoming a fascist state, I would say rapidly, but
yeah,
other than that, Lady B's right on point there.
It's exhilarating.
Good email, Lady B. That's awesome. But one of my takes about the polls is usually people under 60 have caller ID, and if they don't recognize the number, they're not going to answer the damn thing. People over 60, and I don't mean to generalize, but this is just a rule of thumb, they'll answer it, you know, regardless. And that's why I think these polls are getting so fucked up nowadays. Pardon my French. And do you think there's any validity to that statement, Bob, or anybody, or...
If somebody asks me a poll question, I'll answer it.
Professional pollsters, they're very sophisticated. They know defer to the guy that knows the statistics. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but they know how to do this. They're not. I mean, I've studied some statistics and things, and
right, but you can't make anyone answer the phone though.
I know, but they have their ways to oversample where they need to, where they know they're going to have to undersample. They know what they're doing. It's not just a matter of just picking a basket of people and calling.
Brother, do you know?
You got to fuck with them.
Sometimes, yeah, if I'm feeling mischievous, I will, you know.
Well, half of them, it's just a recorded announcement. It's just some
right,
recording.
It's some robo.
I always press one to talk to the Pakistani or Indian guy, and I just love screwing with them.
Hello, do you take Viagra or Cialis? Do you need some?
A day, and if it was a pollster in one of those spam calls, he'd miss me. He would never get my input at all. And that's what going back to my basic point was.
Yeah.
Did we lose Bob? Did he get
zapped?
Yeah,
where's Bob?
No, I've been here all along.
I thought he might have got zapped.
Yeah. Hey Bob, quick question.
Talking zap by lightning.
Yeah, somebody said question. Yes.
That was me, Tracy.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I don't know if you guys have talked about it because today or yesterday, but how these assholes in Alabama equated that the abortion bill with the four girls that were murdered in the bombing.
No. Jesus, no.
Jeez. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, gee. So here it is.
And disconnected again.
Memorial lays to it in the shadow of the 16th Street Baptist Church, a tribute to four little girls whose lives were taken unjustly because of extreme factors they could not control, primarily their race. A small 2-foot by 6-foot granite.
Well, this is getting very, very frustrating. Because
and murder and hatred, it cannot be changed. Alabama cannot atone for its transgressions. All it can do is move forward ever while advocating on behalf of the oppressed. On Tuesday, May 14th, 2019, the state of Alabama took a courageous step forward in the name of human rights with the passage of the Human Life Protection Act.
Oh, God.
And it goes on and on and on.
So a little bundle of cells no bigger than a grain of rice is the equivalent of precious little lives blown up by Klansmen in a church. Got it. Jesus, these people make me sick. But the sad thing is, I guess it probably plays with some of the weirdos down there. You know, that 31% that agrees with this bill, it plays with them. And it gives them a sort of...
justification.
Well, it gives them a sort of specious moral cover because the fact of the matter is the same people who passed this bill are the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the people who were marching and bombing churches. That's a damn fact.
Remember all the Planned Parenthood and black genocide stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why Velveeta King was standing there behind Brian Kemp when he signed the Georgia bill into law. She's been hollering, and that's been the rallying cry, because remember, there is, you know, a number of, I don't know how substantial, but a number of the so-called pro-life movement comes up out of the black church. And that black, and
exactly,
that,
no,
go
ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you.
No, and here's the thing, because it's the same black church that, you know, was out here with about Prop 8 because, you know, gay marriage is going to be the end, is causing genocide in the black community. It's my fault that, you know, this genocide because I'm a lesbian, but I have a child, so I don't, you know, that's kind of a straw man defense. But the thing is, when you're telling people that it's because the gays and we're protecting black lives by, you know, outlawing abortion. And I'm like, but see, here's the thing. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine. If you're forcing a woman to have a child that she does not want. So what is going to happen to that child when the child is born? And again, just because there's a law against abortion does not mean that abortion is going to stop. Women are still going to have abortions. Unfortunately, they just won't be safe. There'll be women dying, bleeding to death, or they will do irreparable damage to their reproductive organs. So when they are ready to have children, they cannot. The only people that these laws are going to affect are poor people. And when I say poor people, I mean across the board, poor black women, Hispanic women, white women.
Sure.
Because the rich people, that, you know, the people that can go to another state or another country or what have you, or have their private doctors perform abortions, they're going to be just fine. It only affects the people that have no choice. Because what do they say? What was it? Did you say it was in Alabama that in the entire state, there's only three Planned Parenthood clinics in the entire state?
There's only three clinics that, I don't know if they're all Planned Parenthood, but there are three clinics that perform women's reproductive health care services, including abortion. Huntsville, yeah. Tuscaloosa, and Birmingham. From Birmingham,
Alabama's a huge state too.
Well, I mean, it ain't. I mean, if you go from the Tennessee line in the northwest corner to Mobile at the Gulf, that's 6.5 hours. Okay, so it's big. That and the thing is, Tuscaloosa and Birmingham are basically on a line. And that's the upper half of the state. The lower half of the state, those poor women Tracy's talking about, black, Hispanic, white, what have you, they have no access whatsoever. And there's been a misinformation campaign in Alabama now. So you've got women scared to death that these three remaining clinics aren't even open anymore. So you got people busting their ass to let people know that it is still safe and legal in Alabama.
This is horrific. We're returning to Gilead, and if this is the signal that we're trying to send to the women, our mothers, our sisters, I mean, we've really screwed the pooch on this one. I don't see how we can turn this one around. You know, I'm sorry. Is it going to cut it?
Well, it may have to be turned around by different means, and I was thinking the other day about that line from JFK where he said, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable." And you know, we went years and years with the other side, murdering doctors and bombing clinics. I don't think you can ask women in this country to remain in a quiescent state forever while their rights are not whittled away but wholesale lopped off. Let me share a couple of notes that have come in. Rhonda writes, Tracy's making a great point. There's a white lady who holds a prestigious position in my community. She said life has never been better since Trump. She said McCain was a loser. She's a white privileged woman. I assume she feels that way because they have stocks and bonds. She and her employee were discussing how immigrants are the problem, too. By the way, I lived in Canada and went to college there in the 70s. I married a Canadian. His brother was Brock on The Young and the Restless. He's now passed. I remained in Canada and worked there after we separated. I was there over a decade. I enjoyed the diversity and lifestyle. Americans suffer, and there is such a divide between the rich and the poor. Their health care system was wonderful. There was diversity there, and it was truly a wonderful place to live. I came back for my parents and then went back to college and later joined the Navy. America is truly broken. The racism here is a huge issue. We are taxed and get nothing for it. It's hard to believe in politicians here because big money runs our politics. I don't believe there's an answer to our complex problems because the powers that be thrive on creating separation to get votes. I wish I felt more hopeful. We are regressing into the dark ages because of the Republicans. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Australia. Robert says, off to vote. I'm off to vote shortly because we have compulsory polling station attendance to have your name checked off laws here in Oz. It looks like being another close one. I have no idea who will win. That's not a good sign, close one.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Tim from L.A. is on the call. He's driving.
Hey, yeah. Well, I messaged him earlier because he said he might be getting sleepy while he was driving. Hey, Tim.
I muted him because he was making road noise. I don't know if he's going to join in.
Okay, well, glad to have you. It's been a long time. We missed you.
I'm on now.
There he is.
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Where are you at?
Hey, what's up? Lodi.
Long time no talk, man.
You do, eh? I'm in Lodi.
Oh, you got a long
stuck
way to
in
go.
Lodi again.
Wait, Tim, I still have the extra room.
Yeah, but he's heading north.
Yeah. Is that Central California, Lodi?
Stop. Yep.
628 miles to Portland. 32 to Sacramento.
Once you get through Sacramento, you'll be in the real Northern California.
Just a piece down Jefferson. The road.
The town of Jefferson, huh?
Oh, you'll be a while before you get into Jefferson country.
Yeah, it's like another 32 minutes and 32 more miles. I'm going about 80 miles an hour right now. Man, there's only two lanes on this freeway. Jesus.
It's a 99, man.
99.
Wait. Stop it. Quit it. Just quit it. Man, there's only two lanes on this freeway. That's a beautiful thing.
West Virginia doesn't even have one.
Now, quit that. No, our freeways are two lanes in each direction. Thank you. There's just not a whole lot of them.
Have they started paving roads there yet?
Day before yesterday. For a lot of years, I lived in a county in West Virginia that had precisely 8 miles of interstate, and as for the rest of the county, there was 3 miles of straight road.
Did they have the lines painted?
Oh yeah.
God damn, you're high cotton there, Bob.
Well, I mean, here, anything, from tar and chip on up, even if it's one lane, that's what we call good road here.
We have like four or five lanes, maybe up to six.
Well, when you get to Sacramento, you'll have multiple lanes until you get out of Sacramento to the Sacramento airport, and then it goes back to two lanes.
A lot of cows, too.
I told you you were going to see a lot of cows.
A lot of them.
Did you have your windows rolled up when you went by Harris Ranch?
Oh, my car circulating.
Oh, that is T-shirt, yeah. Harris Ranch.
Yeah, that's where you use. That's where you use. That's one of those places where you use the recirculate button on your AC. You don't want
that's what I have right now.
Yeah, you don't want that vent open.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of cows, does everyone know how many cows live on the planet?
No.
It's 1.5 billion.
Million?
Billion. Yeah. Billion.
Billion. Billion. Okay.
And how many of those live in India?
Yes. Yes. Most of them are in Brazil and India and then China. And then us. We're number four.
We're number four. We're
nobody,
number four.
Nobody bring USA. Up cow farts because they don't fart. They belch.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely right, Sparky.
Right, because they have three stomachs.
Hey, and, that was, hey, and that, boys and girls, was our Bill Nye the Science Guy moment in Friday on the front porch.
Without any square.
Go ahead.
There's
Tim.
Something for everybody here on this show, I tell you.
I knew a girl with three stomachs and two chins.
Oh.
I resemble that remark, Joe. Hey.
You get a really low rent cowbell for that.
Could barely hear it. Can hear the thunder better than the cowbell. My God, that's a lame cowbell.
Yeah, it was a hell of a thunderstorm.
There you go.
Let's see what the rest of them
were. You guys, listen to this. Here in Ohio, and we lost two greats last week. We lost Tim Conway from Cleveland, and we lost Doris Day from Cincinnati. But what we really lost is a lot of respect. You know, this bill in Ohio, this abortion bill, they're even talking about if you transport a woman out of the state to another state to have an abortion, you could be liable. And she could also be liable if she leaves the state pregnant and goes and has tried to have another abortion in another state. That's how draconian this garbage is.
Oh, shit, here in Georgia, they're trying to
violate as many constitutional amendments as they can. Because I think there's an argument to be made that passage of that law, Joe, is that's a violation of the 13th Amendment's ban on involuntary servitude.
Yeah. Well, because, I'd bring that case, Bob. I'd file that case in a New York minute.
So you agree, Rick? And so let's understand. So. And if they can assault the 13th Amendment, then the 13th Amendment is at risk.
Here in Georgia,
so
you face
slavery.
You face the death penalty. Let that sink in. You face the death penalty.
Well, that clearly is a violation of the Eighth Amendment. I guess it's cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah.
Yeah, but we've been violating that for a real long time.
Well, that's true.
Let me share a couple more emails along the way. Flavio said, don't want to fire up Skype and cut out every few seconds owing to the weather. What Steve said about fleeing to Canada, Flavio said, is Steve not aware of Doug the Thug Ford? The far right is just as active in Canada as it is in the U.S. The resurgence of fascism in the far right is a global phenomenon. It's tempting to want to flee to Canada or elsewhere, but you're always going to be fleeing. I've thought long about this, and I've decided I'm not going to let the bastards chase me away. I'm staying right here. Regards, Flavio.
Give him a cowbell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stan.
Awesome. Awesome.
And you know, I mean, that's my response to the old Bob, why don't you leave West Virginia question. Lady B says Tracy's absolutely right. Trump supporters are not all a bunch of toothless redneck Walmart shoppers. They're regular middle and upper middle class Americans, mostly, if not all, white. I've always said that once you're behind the curtain, no one knows who you voted for but you. You pick who represents most of your true values. And if your values are more aligned with the extreme right, who cares? It's not like your coworkers have to know. That, I think, is part of the problem. People who say one thing, believe another, and have become so good at lying they succeeded in fooling themselves. This is America, man. We're filled with selfish, hypocritical people, mainly those who are already a part of a privileged class. Until shit seriously affects them personally, nothing will ever change. Okay, Bob, I'll stop, because I really got to get to work, but thanks for a great conversation so far. Have fun, y'all. Signed, Lady B. Thank
well,
you, Lady
and,
B.
And
Can I jump on that real quick?
I mean, even folks who are facing the most dire of situations are America's farmers. they'd rather commit suicide than not vote for Trump.
Yeah, that's the story, man. That? The suicide rate amongst farmers is just skyrocketed here lately. I'm not making this up.
I mean, there is another way, but they, you know, voting Democratic, I mean, it's just beyond them.
Vote Democratic. Stop suicides.
Yeah,
well, farmers.
Yeah. Don't kill yourself. Vote Democratic.
Rick, I've got a question for you. I'm glad you piped in there. You know, Barr's trying to investigate the investigation. Have you heard all that?
It's such horseshit. Yeah.
Yeah, is that? Obviously, it's a smokescreen, isn't it? It's a look over here tactic.
Yeah, it's to try to change the subject, you know, to divert attention from the real, Trump has done.
They have no shame, do they, Rick? None.
No, they don't. I don't think they ever have, to tell you the truth, you know? So, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, everybody knows that the counterintelligence investigation did not begin as a result of the dossier. It began as a result of Papadopoulos getting drunk and spouting off to the Australian diplomat about how, he was aware that the Russians have dirt on Hillary and, you know, basically wanted to get it for the Trump campaign.
Right. Hey,
yeah, and not only that, it wasn't just the Australians who dropped the dime. So did the UK.
Right.
Oh, that was that professor who can't be found now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There's a meme going around that Barr has an email that Comey wrote to the FBI or some of his underlings to specifically use the Steele dossier as a source for the investigation. Have you guys heard about this?
I haven't seen that, but I did. But the big news today, and I'm glad we're at least getting to it, is that there's a recording. We know how much it scares him, because Nitwit Nero lost his tiny mind in a speech about it and was tweeting about it. There is a recording of someone's quote unquote connected with Congress attempting to interfere with Michael Flynn.
Lock him up.
Yeah.
Is it person number one?
No, it says connected with Congress.
Oh.
So that would, my early odds on favorites are, either Devin Nunes,
mm-hmm.
or, and I would much prefer it be this, Lindsey Graham.
Oh, that would explain a ton.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
We got
or what again. What about Jeffrey Beauregard?
Jefferson Davis Beauregard's a tough.
I haven't heard anything from him. What happened? He put on ground, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's just taking it easy there.
What? No, what he's doing?
He was speaking the other day.
He's kind of taking the lay of the land and wondering if he might like to have his old Senate job back.
Okay.
Because it's his for the asking if he decides to run against Doug Jones.
Oh, yeah. You know they'll put him back in, too.
Circle of life.
Because remember, Roy Tolamore says he's going to run again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, so you know how about, you know, what?
And it happened again.
See, in 2017, Alabama ranked second in the rate of firearm deaths, but these conservative pseudo-Christians would re-crucify Jesus before they passed a common sense gun law. That same year, the CDC says that Alabama had the sixth worst infant mortality rate, yet the Republican legislature and governor will not allow Obamacare Medicaid expansion. These motherfuckers.
And you know what? They don't even see the hypocrisy, Tracy. They don't even see it. It's right in the
They don't
front
see
of their
that.
Fucking face.
I mean, it's like they don't want to give anybody health care. They don't want to, you know, make the school. They don't want to pay the teachers and make the school and put money in the schools. They don't want to make sure that their citizens have food.
Tracy, all they want is us to be subservient and bring them their iced tea when they want it. They don't give a damn.
It would happen to me before today. It would happen to you, sweetie.
That's why I mentioned Ohio in conjunction with the 13th Amendment.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
they want the serfs and lords. That's what they want. I mean,
you know, I can't remember how old I was the first time I heard my father say this, but I was a kid. And he said, you got to understand, the Republicans want a two-class society, the very rich and the very poor. Uh-huh. Ooh, did you hear that? Okay. That was a good one.
Absolutely, Bob.
God damn, Bob. Jesus.
Now I heard that thunder.
Yeah,
we may ought to check out, bro. Jeez, you're going to blow everything up, man.
I told you had rolling thunder.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, but it's supposed to, you know, end like by midnight or whatever. And by the way, being the voice of reason, note coming in from Texas T. No, damn it. Get a Democratic president. If he croaks, we'll have a Democratic vice president. Please stop with the purity disease. Any Democrat we love. Get them into office and you can all whine later. So,
I halfway agree.
What is that?
I half-heartedly agree.
Vote blue no matter who.
What about Tulsi Gabbard? How's her campaign going? I never hear about her anymore.
While we go to the primaries, then we can fall in love. After that, then you fall in line.
Yes.
Okay.
She isn't getting any news traction.
Really. No, she's not.
No, well, look, corporate media decides who gets the attention. Trump got tons of free attention in 2016.
And they're pushing
Biden's taking it. Beto was getting a lot for a while.
They're pushing Mayor Pete, too. I don't know why. I mean, I like him, but why is media pushing him?
You know, fresh face, and, oh, God, it was so, it was pathetic. What was it, yesterday? They had Michael Bennett, who's decided to run for the senator from Colorado. And he said, so Joe immediately looks at me, do you consider yourself a capitalist?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Really? The country's on fire. And the only question that dude's got is, are you a capitalist?
Okay, guys, I want to throw a name out here for VP.
And yeah, Steve, please
Steve
do.
Steve got me thinking about this because when he was talking about too many New England centric candidates, right? Jennifer Granholm, what do you think of her? She was what, governor of Michigan, right?
I can stop the discussion. She's not a U.S. citizen. She wasn't born in the U.S. She doesn't qualify.
Oh, you're right. Oh, thanks, Rick.
That's the same reason Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't run for president.
Oh yeah. Okay, never mind.
But I like her. I like your thinking there.
Well, Midwest
is going to be important, right?
And,
yeah.
You know, Jason, you made a good point a few minutes ago when you said the media chooses who gets the attention. Well, here's one that didn't get attention. This came out yesterday. Jay Inslee has introduced a 38-page policy plan. It's his second climate change proposal. And this guy, and he can't get any traction. But what I find interesting about it is that, I mean, you know, it's just that we're kind of ahead of the curve here. He's proposing a GI Bill for communities impacted by climate change. Communities where, you know, the dominant industry goes away as a result of climate change, that kind of thing. And he calls it the Evergreen Economy Plan. The plan being to create 8 million clean energy jobs over the next 10 years. That's 800,000 jobs a year. Transitioning from fossil fuels to clean energy. With a $9 trillion investment, $3 trillion in public investment, to leverage an additional $6 trillion. And, you know, that's pretty detailed.
Yeah, it is. You know what?
As compared with a lot of other candidates who say, oh, yeah, I want to do something about climate change.
Well, isn't this what kind of bit Hillary? Remember when she came out, she said, we're going to, you know, all you folks in West Virginia, the coal jobs are not coming back.
Yeah,
how that transition was going to take place.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, it was articulated in her plan, but the problem was her perpetual case of foot and mouth disease.
Mm-hmm.
And when she referred to, you know, coal workers in West Virginia and West Virginians generally as those people.
Horrible.
And she said, you know, we're going to. And how do the election pros who micromanage image and everything, how do they let her walk out and say, We're going to be putting a lot of coal workers out of work? Because that was a perfect little soundbite, and it ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in Appalachia.
Don't you think Joe Biden's capable of saying the same stupid thing?
Definitely. Proven track record.
Yeah, I got a question for Bob.
Yes, Marcus.
Do you have any community colleges in West Virginia?
There are some, yes.
Does any of them offer solar technician or wind turbine technician?
Pretty sure they don't.
Oh, because all our community college out here in California either have a solar or wind program.
There might be one. I do know that at Southern West Virginia Community College, though, you can still go and get your Red Hat certification to be a coal miner. I mean, that's how backwards. And I don't say that because I'm trying to goon on my own state, but that's how backwards you wind up being when an industry becomes the object of a religious fetish.
So Bob, I want to know, do they still train people on how to make buggies for horses there in West Virginia and community colleges there?
No, that's Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Rick.
That's true.
What about panning for gold? Do they have classes in that?
Well, we don't have any of that. So
you have to go to Whiskey Town National recreation area to get a training on that. But Whiskey Town burned up last year in the car fire, so I don't know if they have any gold panning classes anymore.
Yeah,
there goes my dream.
It's probably very tough to get to that gold through all that burnt lumber and shit that's clogging the river there, or the lake, right?
No, I don't. The gold isn't there, but if you go up to the Trinity River or somewhere, I mean,
okay.
But Sparky, just to sort of expand on the question you asked, the reason they don't have these programs is because this state works so goddamn hard to make sure that we're not. I mean, I know of a couple of wind farms. In fact, Coal River Mountain Watch once proposed a wind farm on the mountain that they have since blown to bits because it had excellent industrial wind potential. But that doesn't work anymore when you take the mountain down 800 feet and take it out of the industrial wind zone. Because you can only build the standard for the turbine that sits at the top so tall. But we resist it. When Coal River Mountain Watch proposed the Coal River Wind Farm that would have paid $1 million a year to Raleigh County, West Virginia alone for fucking ever, as opposed to $30,000 a year for a strip mine, the Raleigh County Commissioner, one of the commissioners actually cried and said, but the coal industry's been so good to us. No shit. So you've got to want to go into the future before you can train people to work in that future. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to resist the future, but...
Yeah, but that's that evergreen bill or whatever for
Inslee,
GI
yeah.
Bill?
Yeah.
That's what that would do for West Virginia, is train people for the new jobs.
Yeah.
That,
I mean,
you have to have a public works program, like, you know, like the New Deal, to go along with it. The Green Deal to go along with it.
And that's what he's pitching, because the last third of this new proposal talks about, quote, good union jobs with family supporting wages and benefits. And central to that is exactly what Sparky's talking about, coal miners.
Well, you know that Upton Sinclair quote, right?
You mean about it's hard to get a man to understand something when
it's about his salary.
Hard to get a man to understand something when his wallet and when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Yeah.
True. It's true.
Wasn't that coal company that just declared bankruptcy working in West Virginia area?
No, the most recent one's out in the Powder River Basin of Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like reverse mountaintop removal, because they just, you know, made a giant hole in the ground. But they poison the water and they poison the air along the way.
Yeah, but at least in Wyoming they're building wind turbines.
Right. Because some people have some vision. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm amazed that we've made it this far into the program with our, you know, knock wood, for God's sakes, with the power still on.
Coal keeps the lights on, Bob.
Yeah. Or something, sure. Yeah. Drink.
Sorry. I've heard you say that so much. I know.
It just makes me crazy. Hey, and by the way, I want to take a moment and thank Stephen again, another member of the fraternity of Steve. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen single-handedly wiped out 2 days' worth of funding and a little bit more, 2.5 days of funding. And so with Steve's challenge, which was met by Texas Tea, we are like $20 away from finishing off the week. So that's tremendous. Thank you again. Thank you again, Stephen, so very, very much. That's how we keep all of this going, because, you know, remember, nobody ever gets charged for anything. The podcasts are free, the stream's free. And so anybody who wants to listen can listen, and it's because of the people that support this that everybody who wants to can. So thank you again. I just wanted to get that out there, because it was a big, huge deal.
Hey, Bob, speaking of that, I usually save all the Dr. Bill podcasts for the weekend. Did he have any? Was he around this week?
No,
he was going out to Kansas, right?
Yeah, he went out to Kansas because his grandson, his step grandson was graduating, and you know what a heck of a story that was. The young man had no help whatsoever, and has worked his way through college, got himself a degree in economics, and has now been accepted into the master's degree program in economics at the same university.
That's terrific, and I'm sure. And he's not learning about any stupid Laffer curve or any of that shit, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, but you know, you're gonna have it. It's become so pervasive that I don't think you can avoid it.
It's not economics. It's like creationism is not science.
Right. It's what George H.W. Bush called it way back in 1980. It's voodoo.
Yes. Well, we've been practicing it for 40 years now. Of course, they're going to teach that in economics. Unfortunately, you know.
And I'm sure there's some professor somewhere saying, well, you know, if we just get a president who's conservative enough, because remember after George W. Bush wrecked the place, all those conservative economists are saying, well, you see, he just didn't do it right. He wasn't conservative enough. It was really a tax and spend liberal. That's what George W. Bush was. And again, these are people who never get confronted with their own stupidity.
And their own history of failure.
Bingo.
The 20s was a disaster. Absolute disaster. I call my right-wing blogosphere friends on this all the time. The 20s was a nightmare. But history is rewritten. Ooh, it was the roaring 20s. Ooh, everybody was the boomtown. And everybody, you know, what do you call Frisbees and Wheat Chex? Everybody had Frisbees and Wheat Chex. Bullshit. It was a nightmare for most Americans.
And you know,
that whole decade.
And you know what? Even before the 20s, and I've mentioned this book before, you can get it for free out there, you know, on your as an ebook. It's a romance, and it's kind of, you know, I mean, it's a romance. It's an Appalachian romance, written by a guy named John Fox Jr. called The Trail of the Lonesome Pine. And what he documents, because it's based, you know, the cultural stuff is based on the reality of what happened when an economic boom happened in a little corner of Southwest Virginia, not far from where Steve from Georgistan is talking about his people being from. But there's a passage in there where he talks about how, you know, everybody was buying shares in coal mines and everybody was going to be rich. And then it did what the industry has always done. It went bust, and the people who had the money took the money and left. It's a lovely semi-creepy story for this era, but nobody, it's a good book. But the passages where he talks about the economics of it are really kind of eye-opening. And, you know, what's especially interesting out of it is that, you know, the book ends, all the issues are tied up nice and neat. And now the whole area that he describes in that book is just gone.
Uh-huh.
And he does a good job of talking about just how beautiful it is. And it's right over there on the Kentucky-Virginia line. And people go back and forth across, I think it's Black Mountain. And there's a river through there, and he describes it in great detail. And you can tell that he just thought it was a beautiful area. And it's just gone. It's been blown to kingdom come. It's been mountaintop removed to hell.
Well, you know, I mean, Rick's old hometown, you know, Iowa. I've got relatives that live in Western Illinois, right? Galesburg, the area.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be Maytag. Maytag was the lifeblood of that whole area.
Yeah.
And when that went belly up, or they moved away, or moved the factories away
to China or Mexico,
yeah,
or wherever.
Yeah. All the little towns around it that thrived just decayed. And you go into these little towns like La Harpe or Avon, Illinois, and all there is maybe a Dairy Queen, a little tiny historical society, and shuttered up storefronts. That's
And what happens in a lot of those small towns is, the towns have lost so much of their population that they can't even support schools anymore. So they got to consolidate the school districts, combine them into they have to bus them. They have to take bus to get to the nearest high school. It might be half an hour away. It's
even longer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the small towns. I mean, I noticed it in the 80s when I left Iowa in the mid 80s, how, and was there in the early 80s, canvassing. I went door to door canvassing for about 2 years. When I wasn't in school, and boy, I saw some real, depressing areas, as far as the economy, those small towns just, Reagan killed them with his policies, and
but Clinton,
they never recovered
any better. Clinton's policies didn't do any better.
No, they really haven't. They've never recovered, to tell you the truth. No, they haven't.
So when you look at this demographic of folks, flyover country folks, no wonder they say, fuck you Democrats and Republicans, and we'll go with the orange guy and see what happens.
Yeah, well,
right,
we'll see how well that works out for them with the trade.
Well, it hasn't,
China,
obviously. Trump, we all, on everybody in this community knew that Trump was a backstabbing piece of shit, which he's been his entire life, but most people in flyover country didn't know that. They weren't aware of it.
No, they weren't. And I mean, I can't say I feel sorry for farmers, because you know why?
Are you guys trying to say that the people who voted for Trump didn't know what kind of asshole he was?
I don't think they knew.
They didn't think he was going to come on, Tracy. They didn't think he was going to necessarily start a trade war.
No, but I'm just talking about. They knew. Just from
they knew, and Trump said what they always wanted to say.
It was cognitive dissidence. They knew, but they didn't want to know.
No, Tracy. For once, I'm going to disagree with you.
Tracy,
I'm going to disagree.
He's a great what?
I'm going to disagree. Okay. I'm going to disagree, Tracy. They had a year and a half of watching him say all the hateful shit that he said. They heard his own voice talking about grabbing women by the pussy. Okay.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's not that they didn't care. They dug it. They were into it.
It
made them happy.
It gave them hard-ons, for God's sake. Some of these people probably haven't had wood without Cialis or Viagra in years.
They were vicariously living through everything you said.
I see that point. I definitely see that point, Tracy. But what I'm trying to say is that Democrats have been making promises to those people for decades. Republicans as well. Neither one of them have come through at all. And so let's throw it to the orange guy who, he wants to kick all the brown people out of the country. And yeah, I'm on board for that too. Cool. Yeah, I'll vote for this guy.
And so consequently, you know, we're back to that same old thing. And I just, you know, I guess it makes me a bad person or something, but I don't think people out in the heartland were living in a hole and had their cable cut off for a year and a half. They knew who they were voting for, and they voted for him eagerly.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no disputing the racism and the misogyny, and there's no disputing that.
I mean, they voted for him, I think, Bob, because it wasn't so much as, I mean, maybe they thought he would help the economy somewhat, but it was mostly for the, you know, reasons that you guys have stated, basically non-monetary reasons to give them to make them feel better about themselves.
Validate their prejudices. You know, he doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, I keep returning to this topic time after time after time. We've got to sort out the things that are uniquely Trump, but we also have to have a list of the things that have been the Republican Party since Ronald goddamn Reagan. Okay? And so, you know, these people with their, you know, these heartlanders with their economic anxiety, by God, they've been listening to Rush Limbaugh for a fucking generation, and they were excited about somebody who was going to come in and give the feminazis what for, and push back against all this political correctness. You know, when of course political correctness is just a mouthful term for we want to be assholes and we want to say that word.
He gave them license to be assholes.
Yeah, and so
we don't give a shit about other people. Basically, is what it means. Political correctness. Fuck you. I'll do whatever I want to do, even if it hurts you. You know,
right?
I got mine. Fuck you.
I have a right not to act like a normal human being.
Because conservatives inherently lack a sense of shared interest. They don't understand that they're part of a larger pot. It's all about them and taking as much of the pie as they can grab for themselves and saying whatever they want. Doesn't matter if they hurt other people. Doesn't matter if they damage society. It's all about them. They don't understand that when society goes down, they're going to go down with it. They don't get it.
Well, you try to explain to them what the commons is, and then the commons, it's too close to that word communism, and then brugga brugga. You know, socialism, communism, you know, Mao Zedong, you know, and then you can't crack that nut.
And the fact of the matter is, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. I sometimes wish that Bernie had never introduced that term democratic socialism into the lexicon. Because the fact of the matter is, what he's talking about is just FDR's
social
idea,
democracy.
FDR's yeah. idea of being a Democrat. Okay, it's Democratic Party. It's old school Democratic Party politics, but by using that word democratic socialism, he injected something into the discussion that served more to help the Republicans than it did any good for us. You know, if you're saying that people should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick, you're not saying that government should take over the means of production. You're not saying that government should own everything in the name of the people. You know, corporations continued to be corporations and continued to make profits as the Great Depression began to recover, and then of course World War II, yada yada yada. But the thing is, it wasn't socialism. It was never socialism. It was just a response. It was badly needed reform in a country that would have collapsed and gone somewhere far worse had he not done what he did. But now, of course, you got Mitch McConnell standing there saying, well, by God, we're going to be a bulwark against Senate of the United States, if I'm a running it, going to be a bulwark against them damn Democrats turning us into socialists. And guess who wins in that fight? Because guess how the media are structured? They're owned by capitalist corporations, so naturally they're going to give more oxygen to the people who are saying we don't want socialism. Sorry, that was a mini rant, and I apologize.
No, it was good. And you know, the thing is, nobody likes Mitch McConnell. But the thing is, those folks have been trained through Luncean vocabulary to detest anything called socialism worse than the Turtle Man. So when he says, hey, you know, you might not like me, but you sure as fuck don't want these socialists running the country, there'll be a lot of people say, okay, then I'll vote for Mitch, you know?
Yeah, and it's not even socialism at all. It never has been. Because the way we fund it is through taxation on capitalist practices and capitalist businesses. But instead, the water's a nice sort of muddy color now, and people are running around talking about being things that they aren't.
Yeah, because they, you know, they don't really know what the words mean. They don't care to take the time to really understand the history of those words and, you know.
Well, I mean, most people, you know, when you speak in labels like liberal, conservative, progressive, all this stuff, I mean, you know, you need to articulate the policies you stand for, not label yourself, because people don't know what the fuck the labels mean. I mean, that's what Norman Goldman thinks.
Rick. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. It's a very, very good point he had. I mean, you know, you don't like say, hello, nice to meet you. I'm running for Congress. I'm a communist, you know?
I'm Socialist Chris. Nice
I mean, you're going to turn people off right away, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you talk about things people care about, like do you want your health care to be more affordable? Do you want access to be improved? Do you want to be able to get better drug prices, you know? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know, are you in favor of this? Are you in favor of that? You don't talk about, you know, oh, I'm a democratic socialist. This is my platform. It's like, no. I mean, that's one thing Elizabeth Warren is very good at, you know, communicating, you know, the policies and how can have a positive effect on your life. And Bill Clinton was like that during the campaign, his first campaign as well.
There's no question she's a capitalist. There's no questioning it. But you watch, as she goes up in the polls, they will be attacking her as a socialist.
Well, yeah, they're going to do that one way or the other. But, you know, in 2016, the climate for doing that was made easier.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's absolutely true.
I've read Marx, okay? in college, whatnot, and he makes a lot of salient, smart, you know, his observations are on the mark in many regards, especially about capitalism's penchant for consuming itself.
Cannibalistic capitalism, yes.
Yeah.
That's the end game, yes.
But the fact of the matter is, we're not doing Marxism.
Not even close.
I mean, if we had Medicare, and I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. If we had Medicare for all tomorrow, we would not be one iota more of a socialist country than we are right now.
Nope, it's just being more people would be in the pool.
It just means that the payor is the single payer. The payor is the government. You're still going to have the private infrastructure that delivers the health care. You're not going to have the middleman, the insurance that skims what, 10, 15, 20% off the top. Yeah. And, you know, right. for their gold, their gold covered, you know, their gold plated faucets. And
I can't remember if it was Michael Bennett. I can't remember if it was Michael Bennett. I may have misspoken. It was either him or the governor of Montana. You know, when Scarborough asked him, are you a capitalist? I at least had some regard for his answer. Because his answer was, sure I am. But there's a lot wrong with the way we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
And it needs to be fixed.
Mm. Well, it
And I'm sorry, this guy's not going to go anywhere any more than anybody, and any of these other bottom tier people are. But that's a way that you can explain it to the American people without them being afraid that they're going to hate Jesus. Yeah, because them socialists—they're all a bunch of fucking atheists, right? You don't want to forswear Jesus and have to go to hell just to go to the doctor when you're sick, do you?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, wasn't it Newt? Newt called Mitt a vulture capitalist. Isn't that what he called him?
He did.
Debate stage.
He did. I think so.
He was right.
Yeah, he was right. One of the few moments of truth there at that debate, I'm sure. Probably the only moment of truth at that debate.
That's one of the rare moments of truth that in that person's life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, stop clocks, you know, can be right a couple of times a day, right? So there you go.
If you ask me, Medicare is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, we just asked you, Sparky.
I'm so happy to be off.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear about your dead tree,
care,
man.
Private insurance. The tree? Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that, man.
That's not my problem. It's not on my property.
Oh, okay. But is anybody going to cut that down? The old holler tree?
I don't think you will. There's another dead tree like that in the next pasture. On the hill. But that was sad to see. That was the last living part of the tree that just fell, blew off.
Hmm. A storm or what got it? Wind?
Wind. Got a hellacious wind around here the last few days.
Yeah, don't get cancer now, Sparky.
I don't live next to a wind turbine. I live next to a cattle.
And Tracy, I heard you a minute ago. I want to come back to you in a second. But I got to get this out there. The latest on Donald Trump's hatred of wind turbines. There are piles of bald eagle carcasses under wind turbines. He's seen them.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Oh, sure he has.
Oh, geez. We better abolish turbines then, you know?
Yeah. Hey, have you ever seen a picture of Donald Trump visiting a turbine?
No, because he never has.
No. Hey, can I say something on just totally different thing?
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, thanks. Tracy, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you said something about, I didn't catch all the conversation, but it was about Beyonce and Taylor Swift and...
Oh, Mayochella?
And so I was surfing around on YouTube and I caught a whole bunch of that Beyonce stuff, it was like the marching band stuff.
Yeah, it was her performance at Coachella last year.
And it was, and then I caught a whole bunch of other stuff by her. Man, she was, she fucking kicks ass, man. Yeah,
I mean, see, like I keep trying to, you know, I've never really followed Beyonce. I don't even like this, but when I saw Homecoming, it gave me a whole new appreciation and admiration of the woman, of her work ethic and stuff like that. And it's perfect because speaking of Netflix, I got something. I got a couple of recommendations before we go. Bob has watched two of them, but the one that a new one is, I just watched it today, called See You Yesterday. And it's set, it's about two young black kids, teenagers, who figure out how to do time travel. And what they try to do is, the one of them is a boy, a young lady, and a young man. And the young lady's brother is murdered by the cops. So they keep trying to go back to keep him from being killed. And it's amazing. It's, you know, because when you think of sci-fi and time travel, you typically don't think of black people because we're not usually in the mix when it comes to sci-fi. But it's so cool because they have a teacher that's reading Octavius Butler, who her book Kindred was about time travel. And she was an African-American woman. And I guess there's a comic book called Black, where in this dimension that the only people allowed to have superpowers are black people. So, I mean, we are in the genre, but not so much. And then there's Pose, which is I got Bob hooked into it. And it's about the ballroom culture back in the 80s that has been so appropriated by mainstream America. It's based on a documentary called Paris is Burning, and the ballroom culture is, you know, it was a culture that was comprised of LGBTQ people of color, black and Latinx, and how, you know, it's such a wonderfully done show that it's heartwarming and frightening and scary, but it's just basically about people who want to be loved and care about and have family. And then my next one was Dead to Me.
Oh my.
Definitely a very dark comedy about two women who meet in a grief support group, and how they interact. And at the end of each episode, there's a new twist. So you have to pay attention. So these are my picks.
Yeah, as we watched last night, Tracy, there was some cringing going on.
Yeah, there's some.
And there were a couple of moments where Agnes and I looked at each other and went, "Oh no."
Yes. And you will find yourself, when anybody that watches it is going to be, they're going to spend spending a lot of time saying, "Oh no." And the cool thing about Dead to Me is each episode is only like a half an hour. It's about, what, half an hour, 20 minutes, Bob?
Yeah, it's...
Each episode?
Yeah, it's a half hour, yeah.
So you can pretty much binge watch the whole season in pretty much a day. But definitely, and the cool thing about Pose is this, what's on Netflix now is their first season. They were renewed, and the second season starts in a couple of weeks on FX. So Pose is not an FX show. It's just the first season's on. I'm sorry. It's not a Netflix show. The first season happens to be on Netflix right now, but the second season will be on FX. So, oh, and there's one more. It's called Claws. And it's,
yeah,
about,
I got to check this one out.
Yeah, it's about a group of women who are in Florida. We have characters named Auntie Mommy, Auntie Mama, and we got Opiates, we got the Dixie Mafia, we got a nail salon, we got pill mills, yeah, and it's.
I've seen the previews for that, Tracy. It looks really interesting, and one of my favorite actors, the guy that was the
on Breaking Bad.
In Breaking Bad, yeah.
He's a drug dealer. So if you want to catch up with Claws, that's on Hulu, the first three seasons. And the fourth season of Claws starts in a couple TNT, of weeks, and that's right? on TNT. But if you don't, I don't know if you could get all the episodes on TNT on demand, but you could definitely get all the episodes on Hulu on Hulu. So if you know somebody that has Hulu, or you want if they want to hook you up with if you don't have Hulu and you got somebody that want to hook you up with their Hulu, it is such a good show.
Well, and by the way,
character,
Ron,
who plays the main character? I loved her in Reno 911.
Niecy Nash. She
Right. She's terrific. She's amazing. In Reno 911, she was terrific. That whole show.
She's amazing.
Funny.
Oh, and I had another binge viewing suggestion from Ron and Raleigh. George Clooney returning to TV with
Catch
22.
Oh, also on Hulu, nice. Right?
I think so, yeah. I can't keep subscribing to these things. But, But if I got Hulu, I'd be able to watch the second season of Handmaid's Tale, which, you know, probably would be appropriate.
Do we got a quick minute?
I have to send out a quick thank you to Alma for finishing things off for us this evening. Thank you, Alma.
All right, Alma.
So we made it. We made it through the week, and it was awesome. It was a community-made miracle, led in large part by Stephen. Thank you again so very much. Thank you. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was just going to say I just got tickets to see Greta Van Fleet at the Hollywood Palladium on Saturday, October 6th. So I've never
Who's
seen
that?
It before. Oh. So that should be good. They sound like Led Zeppelin, okay? Some people say they copied them, but I like them. Oh. So
I have it's a love them or hate them kind of thing. I read a review of their album months back now, and it was they just savaged them. Accused them of being a band that was put together by AI.
Oh. Well, I'll have a review in a few months after I see the show, but more immediately, I may be seeing the Cure's playing, I think, at the Greek. And then there's this Pasadena Daydream Festival that just was announced. I'm not so sure if I'm going to go to it, but the Cure is the headliner. Then the Pixies are playing. The Deftones, Magua, Throwing Mazes.
Yeah, just stay away from any Morrissey concerts, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the story about him, but he's running around wearing a pin for a fascist party in England.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. Fuck. Okay, yeah, no need to support that, you know? they have quite enough money already, the fascists, you know? So
no kidding.
Don't need to support them further. So anyway, that's the deal. I think I'll see The Cure just separately rather than as part of the festival because the festival doesn't really grab me, you know. So it's called the Pasadena Daydream Festival, just announced. But, hey, you know, it's not like
daydreaming and I'm thinking of you.
Well, let us know about that. I want to hear about Greta Van Fleet because that's you know, like I said, there's no middle ground on them.
Yeah, well, the fact that I'm seeing them at a club is good. It's at, you know, the Palladium is maybe a 1,000-person club, you know, standing room only pretty much, you know, so.
I'm too old for standing room only.
Yeah, so it should be, I know, but, you know, it's good for you, Tracy, you know, you gotta.
Bullshit.
You know. Wait a minute. That may be our very first bullshit cowbell, but that had it coming.
That worked.
Well, listen, we have gambled with fate here, getting through this thunderstorm and the constant deconnections and reconnections, but we made it, and so I'm going to quit rolling the dice. And we will end this Friday on the front porch. It has been a rousing conversation. Thanks to all of you who made it so. I love these discussions because I think we probably get further down the road of sorting out issues in our own minds than we would have doing it by ourselves or relying on the multimillionaire for-profit media to do it for us. So I thank each and every one of you. Sincerely. And Tim, if you're still there, safe travels and happy trails, and get where you're going safely, and come back and play when you're not driving again sometime. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks to Christopher and our guests who just show up as guests on the list. Thanks to Jack in Shreveport, Billable Rick, thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks to Steve from Georgistan and Steve in New York and Jason and Irwin. Thanks, everybody. And, of course, thank you, Sparky, for moderating, as you have done these many years. It's kind of a job. It is a job, moderating. This is for Sparky. I got a note a few minutes ago from Darlene, who said, "Are you kidding me? Trump doesn't call them wind turbines. He calls them windmills. You're giving him way too much credit." And I explained to Darlene, replying by email, that I have to say wind turbine because every time I say windmill, Sparky yells at me. But he does. He calls them windmills.
Speaking of wind, Tim is trying to say something, I think.
Well, I just had to mute him for a minute. I was trying to...
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying about gambling, because there was just a big flash of lightning, and I lost everybody. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Back for more on Monday, and I'm sure they'll be stacking up like cordwood by no later than Saturday, because any time that Republican men start talking about the workings of women's bodies, there's going to be some morality involved. By the bushel bucketfuls. Reminded me of the 2015 story of the Republican legislator in Idaho who, no kidding, asked a physician testifying before the Idaho legislature whether a woman could get a gynecological exam by swallowing a tiny camera pill. And she had to explain to him that no, the digestive tract does not lead to the vagina. Oh, God. Thanks again. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air month in and month out. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in these discussions. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky and Steve, in the chat room. Thanks, Sparky, in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.